It is certainly a blessing to be here with you this morning and or to be having you tune in online, or if you're on the radio, listen, this is Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'm Daniel Wakefield here, associate pastor at the church, and we're glad to have you tuning in and glad to have all of you here this morning. It is great to have you and great to have you online with us as well. It is great because last time we had to do online primarily online services, we had to act like there was no one else in the building, and at least I can address the people that are here with us. It is certainly a blessing in that regard, and so we're thankful to have those who did maybe live close by, or you got the right vehicle to get out in it, and you were able to get here this morning. But we are glad for all those who are tuning in and stayed home just to stay safe as well. It is certainly what we were hoping everyone would feel comfortable doing, even though we are going to have this going on here as well. And then also, I bring you greetings from Pastor. Pastor's out of town today. He was preaching for a couple's retreat over the last couple days, and he's preaching for a church up in Illinois. And so we're thankful that our pastor is able to minister elsewhere this weekend. And so I don't know if he's happy that he's there or sad that he's there. Maybe he misses the snow. I didn't really ask him what the weather was like there. And so maybe it's colder, and maybe it's snowier, or maybe it's sunny and maybe warm. But I kind of doubt that. And so, I do bring greetings from Pastor, and that is where he's at this morning. And so I'm thankful for the opportunity to be preaching for you today. And also wanted to mention, in case anyone had a question, coming up Tuesday was going to be the Oasis, the monthly Oasis luncheon. But just because of the weather that's happening obviously now and might happen even between now and then, that has been canceled for this month. And so if you have any questions about that, you can call into the office. We can get those answered for you, but that if you can pass word along to any that you might know would come, but might maybe didn't get a chance to tune in, and they'll send out an email as well. But I want to get that word out to everyone so that you can prepare accordingly. Well, it is time for us to get into the word this morning, and so if you want to take your Bibles there at home or here in the auditorium with us and turn to the book of 2 Peter. And I was joking with Kyle beforehand. He's, I think maybe one of my boys asked how long the service was. I said, well, it could be 40 minutes, could be 45 minutes, or it could be an hour and a half. And but it won't be that, and it'll probably be closer to the first one. We won't keep you long. I know when you're listening at home, I've had to do it, and we've all had to be there. It's not always as easy with all the stuff going on around you to stay zeroed in, and so we won't drag this out. But I've had this thought in my mind for the last little bit. Pastor asked me over a month ago or more to preach today, and so this is just something the Lord brought to my mind not long after he'd asked me in the book of 2 Peter, and I want to try to really give you an overview of the book and talk to you about what Peter was communicating to the believers in that day. So 2 Peter chapter number 1. We'll read the first couple verses, and we'll jump to the end of the book and read the last couple as well. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In verse number 17, chapter number 3 says, Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's pray one more time as we dive into the words this morning. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us today. I thank you for the opportunity to stand behind this pulpit before these people and addressing those that are tuning in online or via the radio. Lord, I pray that you would bless the time that we have now to look into your word and to hear from you. Lord, I pray that you would take me and use me this morning to be a blessing, to challenge and equip the saints. And if there's anyone that's listening that doesn't know you personally, that they would, Lord, through the message, but more importantly, through your work of your spirit on their heart, lead them to a point of acknowledging their need for salvation this morning. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the message in that way. Bless the time that we have. Keep everyone safe as they that are here, that maybe are home, but they have to drive around today or the next couple days. Keep them safe, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there was this elderly couple that was beginning to forget things as they were doing stuff around the house, just little things here and there. And so they started to get a little bit concerned because they thought, well, it could get dangerous. We've got a gas stove. We've got a fireplace. And so one of these days we might forget to turn that off, and we might something might catch on fire, and because we're not thinking of it anymore. And so they decided to go to a doctor just to see if there's any help that the doctor could help to give to them. And so they went in there and they talked to him, and he said, well, probably the best thing you could do is just start to write everything down, every little thing down. If you just write it down and put it somewhere where you'll see it, then you'll be a lot less likely to forget these things. And so they thought, well, that's probably some pretty good advice, and they thought there'd be a good place to start. And so they went home, and they were sitting there at the house, and they as they sat down and were sitting around, the wife, she turned to her husband, she said to him, dear, would you mind going to get me into the kitchen and get me a bowl of ice cream? And he said, sure, yeah, I'd be glad to do that. And she said, now you better write that down. He said, I don't think I need to write that down. It's pretty hard to forget, just going for a bowl of ice cream, coming right back. And so she said, I don't know, because I also want some strawberries with it. And so I really do think you should write it down. Ice cream, strawberries. He said, no, I think it's really hard to forget. There's just two things. He said, well, there's one more thing. I want some whipped cream on top of it too. So ice cream, strawberries, whipped cream. Don't you think you should write that down? And he looked at her and he said, no, I really don't think I need to write that. That's not the type of stuff that the doctor was talking about that we need to write down. And so he went, he was determined. He went in there, and 15 minutes later, he came back from the kitchen, and he was carrying a plate with bacon and eggs. And his wife looked up at him. She said, I knew you'd forget. Where's the toast? And so we all forget things, and we're probably more prone to get there than any of us would realize or would like to admit. And maybe in this moment, I think, well, that's not me yet, but I'd say that we've probably all been there. You know, that's because that's just the way people are. I have to write just about everything down if I'm going to get it done. And Peter was writing to people. And as you read through the book of 2 Peter, really, he doesn't say anything new. Matter of fact, he intentionally communicates to them that he is trying to remind them. In verse number 12, it says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Peter was saying, I know you already know this, but I'm just going to tell you again, because I want to stir you up. He says, verse number 13, yet I think it meet, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ hath showed me. Peter, this is 2 Peter is really the same that we often talk about 2 Timothy being Paul's last letter that he writes to anyone that we have record of. This is the same thing for Peter. Peter knows, that's what he just said in verse number 14, that he's shortly going to put off this tabernacle. It's his way of saying, I'm going to die pretty soon. And as long as I'm here, I am determined to make sure you don't forget some of these very, very simple and central things. He wants to make sure what? What does he want to make sure? He wants to make sure that they continue to grow in the grace of Jesus Christ and in the knowledge of Jesus Christ all of their lives. He doesn't want them to get sidetracked. He doesn't want them to get in a ditch, as we almost all probably did on our way to church this morning, right? He wants to make sure that as we go in life, we are able to keep going and keep growing. And that's the title of the message for us all this morning. See, the Christian life is not one that was just meant to be started. J. Vernon McGee said, the Christian life is more than a birth, it is a growth. What you were when you were saved, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, was not what God intended for you to be. God intends for you to become so much more than what you are, even right now in your life. And I think that what Peter was trying to do in this church was something that that we need to remember in our own lives. It's the beginning of the year. It's kind of hard to believe that it's already February 1st this morning. 1 month is already gone. And maybe for some of you, you started this year with plans and goals and resolutions and all kinds of stuff to be the things that this is the year that I'm going to accomplish this thing or change this aspect about my life. And that's wonderful. And that we should all have thoughts of where we're going. But what I want you to remember this morning is that God has thoughts about where he wants you to be going. God has a plan for your life of growth down a pathway that will bring you to a place that is far better than where you are right now. Far more can be accomplished through your life if you just determine to keep going and keep growing. And that's what Peter was wanting to make sure these that he wrote to were going to do. See, he was writing to churches that are scattered throughout the area of Asia Minor, and he was wanting to just make sure that these churches that we would know the names of, the church at Ephesus, the church of Smyrna, the church of Laodicea, the churches of Galatia, there's a lot of different churches that we would have come across. These were the target, the first target of the letter that Peter had written, and he was just challenging them because he knew that as the apostles began to drift off of the scene, that there were going to be people that came in and tried to get them off track. And even if there weren't those people, that just human nature is, that the further you are removed from that initial point of contact or that decision that you made at some point to be something or to do something that God would want you to do, the further you get from that one particular point, the easier it is just to drift. And so Peter says, keep growing as you go. But the key to understanding all of it is that it takes the grace of God for that to be the case. And I hope to be able to develop that for those of you that are online this morning, those of you that are here with us this morning, by looking at four reminders from Peter's final letter that just address this idea of growth. The first thing is to understand what he describes as healthy growth. And those first verses that I read for you this morning are a reminder of what is being communicated to us. It says in verse number one, again, Simon Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us. The one reality that we have to remember is if you're going to grow, you have to have the right position in life. You have to have accepted Jesus as your Savior. You have to have faith in him. Those who have obtained like precious faith with us. It's the beginning point of everything that you will ever become in life. The salvation that Jesus provided for you. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were made a new creature. That means if you haven't, then you're not a creature that is capable of growing in grace. You don't have that possibility, but if you have, then you do have that possibility. There is no person that has accepted Jesus, that is a child of God this morning, that God cannot take their life and his grace be enough to make it into something wonderful. And that is a truth that sometimes we just need to be reminded of, because every once in a while you might be going through a season in life where maybe you've been trying something and it's not been working out for you, or maybe a job situation just hasn't been all that desirable and you're just kind of getting beat down by every which way. Maybe health isn't going out as you would expect, and job's not, and family's not, and everything's just kind of going around, and you're just kind of like, man, maybe God just really doesn't have much in the works for me. That is so not true. But you have to remember where it comes from. Yes, you have to begin right the position that God has given to you. I just want to remind you this morning that what you have, when Peter says, you have obtained like precious faith with us, it's a good reminder for us that what you have in Jesus Christ is a precious thing, because the price that was paid for it was precious. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed for me and for you. And there has never been anything more precious that has ever been done than that the God-man would come, that he would live, and that he would die for you like precious faith is made such by the price that was paid for it, by the offer that is given, that we all would have opportunity to receive the gift of salvation. That's what the Bible says, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And it's a wonderful thing, but it's a wonderful thing that is shed abroad unto all people. And there's never been an offer that's been given like the offer that God gives. There's no religion that offers anything as precious as what Jesus offers to you, because every other religion out there, every other church that may even have met this morning that does not base its truth in Jesus Christ alone is not offering what the Word of God is offering. If they don't believe what we believe here, they might say, well, you got to do this, you've got to try this, you've got to be there, you've got to rise to this level. But Jesus says, I give this to you. It's a gift. The gift of grace that God offers to you and to me. And its result is precious, that we would have salvation that would last for all of eternity. We have to have the right position. We have to do it in the right power. And I mentioned this a moment ago, but this is what he says in verse number 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. His power. The divine power of grace in your life. Grace is God's, yes, it's God's unmerited favor, but it is God's enabling you to do and to be that which you could not do or be without it. That's why grace saves you, because it enables you to be a child of God. But the grace of God, the Bible says in the book of Titus, that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. The grace of God is the very thing that you need in order to be what God wants you to be. So this year, as you endeavor, I'd love, and I know Pastor would say the same, we'd love for our church to be a church that's a lighthouse in our community, finding people that are lost and undone and bringing them into the saving knowledge of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And if we're going to be that type of church, we need the grace of God to make us that. If you're going to grow as a, because if we're going to be that type of church, we've got to grow. I've got to grow at being personal soul winners, people that are reaching out and seeing God use our testimony in our workplaces, in the grocery stores that we go and in the relationships that we have. But you know what that takes? The grace of God. What I want to remind you all this morning of is that God is the power behind the transformation in your life, not you. Not me. You don't have to just do a little bit more work and make yourself a little bit better. Instead, God says, I will give you the power to become all that I want you to be. But you and I have to access it. And that's what goes on next. So it says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these we might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And he says after that, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance. And not too long ago, Pastor preached through that list, and we won't delve into each one of those things, but the way that we are confronted with these truths in this passage of Scripture is God is saying, what I want you to do is build each one of these things on top of the other, and each one adds to the next. And as you do this, it takes the diligence of someone that is working hard. So God has a really unique way of in communicating things to us to say, hey, by the way, I'm going to give you the strength to do this, but you have a responsibility as well. If we want to grow, we have to realize I have to work because I need to be obedient, as we sang a little while ago. Trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. But what does it really take? The combination of my obedience and the amazing grace of God. Because then I can, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come, is what the song says. Now, all of those things, it's the grace of God that taught my heart to fear and grace my fears relieved. I mean, this song is really just a reminder of every aspect of our walk with him as he guides us through life. But we have to say, I am going to follow what the grace of God would lead me to do. And then God, through his Spirit, then takes those things and makes them something that just my pure effort could never make them. And if you're working in your own strength and not relying on the grace of God, then your own effort won't produce anything. You say, well, I'll just do the same thing. But I don't think anybody in this room or listening online would be like, well, I'll just try God's will without God's grace. I don't think anybody wants to do that. And if you do, then why? It would be my question. Like, why would you ever want? Well, what does that gain you? What does that lift you up to be except for just proud of yourself? And the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. And so when we try in our own flesh to become something that's greater, then we are literally inviting the opposition of God from making us into anything more. And I don't know what's going on with the lights, but there's no one here anyway, so it's okay. But hopefully it's still tuning us on online, but if not, sorry, people at home, but you can't hear me. But as we continue to grow, God says you have to focus on these healthy characteristics of growth. You have to go forward. And I couldn't help but think about Peter's own testimony as I considered this message. You think about Peter writing this and talking to people that had come out of idolatry from the places that he was writing to, people that had been steeped in all kinds of mystical, idolatrous religions that were leading people astray, and he was writing to them, but he's thinking about his own story. And when Peter was first brought to Christ, I read it this morning as I was just reading my Bible personally. The story goes that John the Baptist was preaching, and John the Baptist was preaching, and as he's preaching, Jesus walks by, and he sees him, and he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And then he baptizes him, and then the next day that this happens again, if that's the flow of events, and he sees him again, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And two of John's disciples were standing nearby. One of them was Andrew, very likely the other one was John. And Andrew comes up to Jesus, and they talk to him for just a moment. But before they follow him further, the Bible says that Andrew goes and gets his brother first. His brother's Peter. And he goes and he says to him, "We found the Messiah." And they go to Jesus and they communicate with Jesus that day. From the very earliest moments of Jesus' earthly ministry, Peter was acquainted with the power that Jesus would be able to unfold in his life. But just because Peter accepted Jesus as the Messiah that day did not mean that Peter was just, it was all smooth sailing for him, no pun intended, since he was a fisherman. But matter of fact, there was a lot of rough moments for Peter moving forward. But Peter could look back at his life and say, the grace of God made me into something that I could never have become. He was a brash, maybe rough fisherman that was used to just going through the hardships of life and just handling things his own way. And when things didn't go his way, he just kind of forced his way through. But Jesus humbled him in bringing, when fish wouldn't come, Jesus brought fish. When Peter was too quick to make assertions about his own willingness to follow, Jesus was quick to remind him on whom he would need to be dependent. When Peter was rude and impatient, Jesus was patient, gracious, loving, and kind. When Peter said that he would die with Jesus, Jesus knew he wouldn't, but instead he would deny him. When all of the things of Peter's life were going forward, when Peter watched the unfolding ministry of Jesus and was there and involved, what was an imperfect part of it all, Peter was growing in the grace of God. And he couldn't always trace all that God was doing. And I think that's one of the greatest things about understanding the grace of God in our lives, is knowing that as we interact with the Spirit of God in our lives, the grace of God will change and challenge us, make us fruitful in ways that we can't always see in the moment. We can't understand where it's going, but God is going to do something with it. The grace of God is what Peter saw all back through his life to say, man, that was rough. One day I got to preach at Pentecost and 3,000 people got saved. And I'm telling you what, that was not me. I was there when the church was just exploding in Jerusalem. And it was just, I was just glad to be a part of it. And I don't want you to miss, is what he's telling those people. It's what he's trying to tell us today. It's what God is trying to tell us today. I don't want you to miss what can happen as you follow Jesus in your life. But you can miss it because there are dangers that hinder growth. There's false teachers. Chapter number 2 and really much of chapter number 3 of 2 Peter details the false teachers and false thinking that can very quickly derail us from a path of following Jesus Christ. And I won't belabor the point. We're just about done, truthfully, for the moment, for the morning. But what Peter does as he goes through chapter number 2 is he says, hey, you just need to make sure, because there are false prophets among the people. Now there was them then. They were there in the Old Testament. There will always be people that will try to bring in thoughts that are going to be counterproductive to the growth of grace in your life. And so I challenge all of us this morning to not just accept every little thing that we hear and not always just follow every little thought that pops into our head like it might be a good idea. We need to make sure that we are sticking to the path that God desires for us to follow. And I want to challenge you this morning to be aware of the fact that there are things out there. There are people out there. There are teachers out there. There are thoughts in here that are not going to help you be what God wants you to be. You say, well, where are they all at? I can't tell you. That's what the grace of God is for, as you try to walk with God yourself. Now, I could tell you some things, and we could take time to look at all kinds of different thoughts, and that's what all the other messages and the Bible studies that we do, we try to teach the truth here at the church, but this morning, you don't want me to try to take the time to tell you, is what I mean by that. I can't tell you this morning. You don't want me to do that this morning, but I do want to just remind you that it is the grace of God that will help you navigate the choppy seas of life, because you won't always know, but God always does. And the emphasis this morning is that if you're going to grow into the believer that God wants you to be, it is going to be the grace of God that gets you there, not your own intelligence, not your own diligence, not any of those things, even though you should use your head and you should use your hands to make sure you do all that God would want you to do. And so what can I determine so that I can grow? Well, Peter says it very well in the first epistle that he writes in chapter number 5, verse number 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. In the book Death in the Long Grass, the author and hunter Peter Capstick tells stories of different hunts that he went on and different the nature of different types of animals that he hunted as a guide in Africa. And one of the animals, obviously, that he hunted there in Africa were lions. And it's there's an incredible amount of information about lions in his book. And one thing that he relays in that book is that a lion that was a man-eating lion was sneaky enough to sneak into the room that someone was sleeping in, even if they were sleeping next to someone, and they would come up on top of their above them while they were lying down and bite them on their head, one their teeth in the bottom teeth in one temple and their top teeth in the other temple, and drag them out of the bed. And the people would wake up the next morning, never having known the lion was in there, except that the person that they had gone to bed with was gone. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. There's a very real enemy that wants to destroy us, and he is way stronger than anybody in this room, except for the one who's inside of us. Because the Bible says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we need to grow in the grace of God, leaning on his enabling to make us into what God wants us to be. We need to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's why here at the church, we challenge people to make sure this book is a regular part of their life. Just studying it and getting to know this is the Word of God. Jesus is the Word. As the Bible says in John chapter 1, the Word was made flesh. And so at the beginning of this book, it says that we are to, through the righteousness of God and through our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. And at the end of the book, it says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow. The only way to keep growing is to keep going, but going in the right things. Focusing your attention on Jesus Christ, saying, Lord, I want to know you more. I want to apply your word and your truth to my life in this situation. And that takes diligence. It takes study, but it takes a humility to know that ultimately it's not you that makes the difference, even though you are a participant in the story of your life. I just want to encourage you this morning just to think about these things. Think about the story of Peter and his life, and remember that ultimately, in the end, it's for what the book ends with. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Sir Edwin Landseer was one of the most famous painters of the Victorian era. He developed his talent early. He showed his work at the Royal Academy when he was 13 years old. And when I was 13 years old, we were playing Pictionary in our house. And when I drew an elephant, my brothers just thought I drew an animal cracker. You know what animal crackers look like? They're like real wavy lines. You can hardly tell really what animal they are. So when I was 13, I was not showing my works at the Royal Academy. And maybe some of you can identify with that. Maybe some of you can't, sitting on this side of the room, because you can draw and do all kinds of wonderfully artistic things. But Sir Edwin Landseer was good, and he was commissioned to do a number of official portraits of the royal family. And he gave private drawing lessons to Queen Victoria and Prince Albert. But he was best known for his depictions of the Scottish Highlands. One day when he was visiting a family in an old mansion in Scotland, one of the servants in the home spilt something on one of the walls that just put this real ugly stain on the wall. And later that day, the family had gone out on a trip, but Landseer stayed behind. And as he was there behind, he took some charcoal and he incorporated the stain into a beautiful drawing. And when the family came back, they found, instead of this stain on the wall, this beautiful waterfall landscape surrounded by trees and animals. He had used his skill to take that blotch and turn it into something beautiful. That's what the grace of God does for you and for me. Why? For the glory of God. See, we tell that story about a great painter. Your life can be a story about a great God and how wonderfully powerful he is to make you into something you couldn't be without him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the day you've given to us, and thank you for the truths that we've been able to study this morning. I do thank you for those tuning in, those that came out this morning that are here with us. It's certainly a joy to have them and to be with just a small group. But Lord, we don't have to be together to be together. Lord, because wherever you have us, wherever we are, as Peter wrote even to this group of people, Lord, these are, and especially addressed them in 1 Peter, he says to them that are scattered abroad, Lord, wherever we are, we're your children, and you want to work in our lives and work through our lives. And so, Father, I pray that as this year is now fully underway, that the people that are listening this morning would make a determination in their lives to keep growing. No matter what might come against them this year, whether it's a false teacher or a false thought, a discouraging thought because of a season in life or just a hard time, Lord, or just something that's just totally off from what they should be thinking, that you'd help every one of us to focus on you and what you can turn our lives into. by your grace. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just a quick time of invitation for those who are here this morning. If you're listening at home, I do encourage you just to take a few moments. And I'd say that you might not be the type of person that would regularly come forward in church, and that's totally fine. Matter of fact, I would encourage everyone at the end of every message during the invitation, it's not the time to start thinking, all right, now where are we going to go? What are we going to do? What's the roast going to be like on the way home? What's the status of the roast in the crock pot that we put on? The time of invitation, regardless of the nature of your outward and physical response, is a time for you just to stop and think, okay, what did I just hear? I hope that I was able to say something to be a blessing to everyone, but that's always pastor's hope as well, and any other preacher that you might hear. And so the invitation is a time for you to reflect. I'm still talking, but we try to just have some moments where there's just a little bit of quiet, so to speak, where you can say, okay, God, now I respond to you. And you can do that from your seat. You can do that at home on your couch. You can do that if you're just on the run listening to this in an earbud. You say, okay, God, what do I need to do? And today I would just say one big thing is just say, God, let me lean on your grace because I can't make it through without it. Help me to become, by the grace of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, what I can be for your glory. Let that be our prayer this morning as we thank him for all that he's done. Amen. Well, you can look this way if you're in here, and we're thankful to have had a small group gathered together this morning, and those that tuned in online or on the radio, thank you for doing so. Not an hour and a half, for which you can be thankful, but we are certainly glad to have had you at the As You Go today. If you came in this morning and you had your offering with you, Marty and Johnny are going to be standing in the back with some offering plates. You're welcome to give. We wouldn't be a Baptist church if we gathered, we didn't take an offering, and so those guys will be back there here in just a moment. I'll have Elijah, if you don't mind praying for us. You pray for us at the end. So once he prays, they'll slip back there. But want to remind you, tonight we will be broadcasting only, so there won't be anything going on here. So if you were going to be out and about trying to come out for tonight, it'll just be broadcast. We won't be in here tonight, 6:30 though. We'd love to have you tune in for the evening service. And then also a reminder that Oasis this Tuesday is canceled. If you have anything that you need or you know of anybody that needs anything, reach out to the church office. If we can be of help, we would love to be. But if you've got neighbors nearby that you don't know, maybe if they've got family in the area, there might be a widow lady or something, I'd encourage you maybe to reach out to them as well. And the next couple days, they might need to get out, but their driveway may be loaded up with snow. And so if you know of anybody like that, then you can be a help too. Great. If you need to get someone else, then maybe reach out to us. We might know someone that could help them as well. But thank you for being here today. Elijah, why don't you pray for us? Thank you for being in church. Thank you for tuning in. We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Father, we thank you for this day you've given to us, Lord. We thank you that most of us were able to come here, Lord. We also thank you for the people that were watching on live, Lord. We pray that you'll keep us safe as we go home, Lord. We thank you for the message that Mr. Daniel brought us, Lord. We pray that you'll bless it to our hearts. Pray that you'll all keep us safe as we head on our way home. In name I pray, amen.